You're listening to the Hotard Huddle Podcast. Join the conversation on sports, movies, television, music, and more.
The Hotard Huddle Podcast is not responsible for any major side effects of nostalgia, fanboying, or foul language.
Bringing in for another episode of the Hotard Huddle Podcast, Mike alongside Danny. Well, it's finally here. It's draft week. And, you know, this has been now, what, how many years have we done this in a row, Danny, of a good old mock draft during draft week?
I don't know. Four or five, I think, right?
it was up there.
I think the first year you and I did it was the Daniel Jones draft. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
So is that 5 or 6 years? I don't know. Like,
we did miss a year or two in there, but yeah. It's been pretty consistent.
So he can't throw the ball.
He can't throw the ball. But got the Busch Lights flowing, and we're gonna make some draft magic. How many times are you planning to watch draft day this week, though?
I've already watched it once this weekend. I'll probably do it each day leading up to it to some extent, whether it's clips, and then probably Thursday morning, true to tradition, watch it. I think we started that right around the same time, too. We watched draft day yep. of. You know,
did you take off Thursday?
No, if it was the first three rounds, I would have.
Yeah.
But now that it's going one and two, you know, and it really is like the full night of things. My hat's bugging me, so I'm throwing it away. Away off screen. But no, you know, if it was up to me and it was three rounds, yeah. But first round, I'll sit there. I'll have fun at work watching stuff, doing a couple mock drafts, and then go home and watch it.
Yeah. I have not watched draft day yet. I plan to this week. It's sitting in good old in my Prime account where I purchased it just a few years ago, right? Shortly after you and I watched it, because I didn't see it until I watched it with you. But I did watch Little Big League today, which was fucking awesome. It's such a good movie.
Underrated.
Very underrated. It's definitely up there for baseball movies, but trying to get Finn into watching all these. We just watched The Sandlot, so now I'm trying to get him in all the others.
Waiting up. Rookie of the Year coming in.
I'm waiting to crack the lid on Bad News Bears. Give him a taste of that nonsense.
Yeah,
he's gonna get in trouble cursing at school after watching that.
Just gonna say, I'm sure the wife would love that.
Just get a call from a teacher. Dude, I don't know why Finn's saying these things. I have no idea. Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the way this is going to work for the mock is Danny's going to take the odd number picks. I'll take the even picks, and we're just going to kind of bounce back and forth. We're not going to do any trades to throw any crazy wrenches in there, which – if you follow on Hotard Huddle, I'll be doing my official mock that will include trades. And, you know, Danny, are you down to throw one of those out there to post on there?
What, a mock draft with trades?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can give you one.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, that's only going to take like 3 seconds.
as opposed to the two it takes us to run through these.
Yeah, so I did want to ask, you know, when we're doing this mock here, one thing we didn't really discuss off screen, I'm going to pick my picks based on what I think the team would and should do in that spot, you know. So
absolutely.
There's going to be teams that I think will trade back, will trade up, whatever you want to call it. I'm saying like, hey, this is the team, this is the pick, here's what I'm going with.
And here's what they'll do if essentially no trades were to happen. Yeah, no, right. For sure. Which this is where it gets interesting when you're doing a mock with someone else or with a friend too, is kind of the same thing. If you're doing a fantasy draft, you know, you mm-hmm. get that one player that starts sliding maybe, and you're like, oh yeah, I could see him for this team. And that's like, oh shit, he's gone. Now what?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll, so the way this is going to work, again, Danny's going to take the odd numbers. I'll take the even numbers, and we're just going to kind of bounce off of one another, take a couple of seconds to discuss the pick, and just move right along and finish it off with a little recap, maybe do some draft day talk, things we want to see. So we'll get right into it. And with the first pick in the 2024 draft, of course, that being the Chicago Bears. Danny, who are the Bears taking here?
It's the worst kept secret going. It's going to be Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. You know, if they weren't going this route, Justin Fields would still be their quarterback. You know, I think the most overused term in the NFL draft is a generational talent, but that's what scouts consider him, is a generational talent. What a generational talent to me means is can come in and start day one and hopefully turn your franchise around. Stop the losing seasons. You know, it's a, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a Hall of Fame, perennial Pro Bowler. But I think with Caleb Williams, they're doing this because it's the easiest pick to get right if you're the Bears brass. So they're going Caleb Williams.
No question about it. I mean, I think you said it best. It's the worst kept secret. I don't think it's a secret anymore. But, you know, I do agree with you in a sense of it gets overused because at this point we've had Trevor Lawrence, who is a generational talent. We've had Caleb Williams, who's a generational talent. We've had Andrew Luck, who's a generational talent. And it's like, okay, so we've had three in the past 15 years.
All in the same generation. What the hell?
Right. So, no, I get that. But as far as Caleb goes, I mean, he is up there for me right along with them. I'd say coming out, I like him just as much, if not more, than Andrew Luck. And I'd put him a hair above Trevor Lawrence right now. And I think Bears are definitely getting – they're in a good spot to be at number one in a good year. Now that leads us to Washington with the number two pick, and that will be me. And there's been a lot of debate about this as to which quarterback they potentially go with. There's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, and I wrote this in my first mock that I did exactly like this, except for it was all me making the picks. But I'm going to take Jaden Daniels with the Commanders and sticking with that, at least for now. Maybe that changes by the end of the week. But the parallel I used when I wrote the column earlier today, Sunday at the time we're recording this, was the way I feel right now about Jaden Daniels is the same way I felt about C.J. Stroud last year. There was a lot of pre-draft noise, smoke, and then it was all for nothing. That's kind of how I feel about Washington and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, you definitely – I think you're referring to the report. I think it was Schefter that actually came out and said that the visit with Washington and Jaden didn't go all that well. You know, I think, you know, he's – if you're asking me to take him or Drake May, I'm choosing Jaden Daniels. You know, I'm not real big on Drake May, but that's just where I'm at. So I could see it happening. Ultimately, I do think Washington takes Drake May, but I think they should take Daniels. I think he's the better quarterback, the better pro.
Now, that brings us to New England. Mm-hmm. What are you doing here since you have the pick? Yeah, you have the golden ticket here, Tom.
If you – oh, such a good movie. Honestly, I
and if you're listening and not driving or at work, just drink every time there's a draft day reference.
Yeah. If Daniels was there, he was my pick. He's not there. I don't think New England covets Drake May. I think they would rather go a different route and maybe get one of the late, you know, early second round quarterbacks, or maybe even address in free agency. I'm going to have him take Marvin Harrison Jr. here.
Nice.
I and the pick is really just because their guy just went a pick ago. I don't think they are big on Drake May. I think they're more in the Jaden Daniels camp. He's not there. Why not go for Marvin Harrison? You know, and address the quarterback either in round two or free agency. So that's where we're going to go. Marvin Harrison, wide receiver, the Ohio State University.
No, it's a good pick. I mean, it's funny because, you know, in the mock today, I did have New England taking Drake May, but I could absolutely see this playing out if Daniels is not there. where they end up going Marvin Jr. just because he's football royalty. And for whatever reason, Jerod Mayo and what he's going to build in New England, I don't know why. It just it fits like a glove. No, that'd be a good pick. I mean, if they did pass on a quarterback, I like what you said about them maybe taking like a Michael Penix or, you know, this is going to sound really bad, but there's a lot of teams who seem to be high on them in round three, but someone like Spencer Rattler, you know, whether or not we are remains to be seen. But
even my least favorite quarterback in the draft, Bo Nix. You know, I could see, I think they want someone with a little bit more mobility and stuff. Not that Drake May is not, but if you're asking who's mobile, who's more mobile between Daniels and Drake May, is no contest, right?
Yep. So that takes Marvin off the board, which that brings us to pick four, which, you know, if Marvin's off the board at that point and I'm the Cardinals, I'm trading the fuck down now. But since there are no trades, I'm actually going to go ahead and just take the next best receiver off the board. I don't know that he's the second best. I think there's a heavy debate between two and three here, but I'm going to stick with the status quo and say Malik Nabers to the Cards at four here. You know, again, when you're the Cardinals, I think it's a definitive they're going to go receiver round one. I mean, Marvin seems to be the pick, but if he does go, I could see a scenario where they once again trade down, get a couple more picks, and then you could just, you know, get more draft capital, get more assets. But yeah. Since no trades, we'll take Nabers.
I like it. I mean, I kind of felt like, well, since he stole my pick, I'll steal yours. Because I think Harrison in Arizona – is a natural fit. Like you said, Nabers, when you said, hey, I don't know if he's the number two, I'm assuming it's because you mean Rome.
Rome Odunze, baby. Yeah. I love him. Love him.
You know, and it's just the right way to go. You know, they went in on Kyler Murray. You know, they're not going to draft a quarterback here. Go with a weapon for him so you can actually evaluate him. So,
yep.
Good pick there.
And that brings us to the Chargers picking at five. Yeah. So this will be you, Danny. Who's Jim taking? And I do want to say this. I don't think there's once my final mock comes out, I think there is 100% chance that the Chargers end up trading down from five.
So I was going to say they are my prime candidate to move back. You know, or potentially try and leapfrog Arizona. I don't think that happens. I think they want to accumulate some picks.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. They are one that I have them and the Bears at nine as teams that are just begging for a partner to come up, you know? So speaking of the Chargers, so the other thing here is they can really go in a bunch of different directions. You know, they can go ahead and take Rome, you know, the third 1A quarterback or wide receiver, rather. I don't think that they will just because they invested a pick in Quentin Johnson last year, and it's a very, very deep wide receiver draft. I think they should get weapons, but, you know, maybe this is a little shock here. If I'm the Chargers, I'm going up and I'm taking Brock Bowers. You know, I think that's a good fit for him. He screams Harbaugh guy. And he allows you to have a pass catching threat, which they do want. But like I said, you addressed wide receiver round one last year. Bowers is more of a guy who can block, but you can also line him up in the backfield as an H-back where, you know, he's kind of that Swiss Army knife that I think Harbaugh would value. And if you're Justin Herbert, I mean, that's a great little security blanket, you know. If you look at the Chargers, they just have more traditional tight ends right now, which is odd coming from going, you know, with Antonio Gates and stuff like that when in the past. So I have them taking Brock Bowers here. And it's probably because if Neighbors is there, I could see them going Neighbors. I think Rome might just be like a hair too early here, you know?
When so, you said it's probably because the only place my mind went is because
you don't know what a duvet.
You don't know what a duvet is. Brock Bowers at 5. That was something early on that I thought would potentially happen. They need weapons on offense. We saw, you know, Jim's mortgaging all their assets now and getting mm-hmm. more picks so he can actually have a build, which it's not going to take long. Jim's going to have them winning 12, 13 games by next year at the absolute latest.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this is why we said we're drafting based on them not moving and what we think they would do at that position. Do I think the Chargers go up there with Brock Bowers' name on the ticket? I don't, because I, like you said, I think they trade back. Maybe they take him if they trade back. But right here, I think it's just a good fit for the offense. And, you know, you got to get – I mean, Justin Herbert has no one. Absolutely no one. Dude, he has the Ravens cast-off backfield and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. And then an underperforming first-round pick from last year. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going.
That makes sense. And like you said, I mean, it's just – Chargers aren't going to stick there probably, but since there's no trades here, that brings us to the Giants here. And with Neighbors off the board, I am actually going to, I will say that they will take Joe Alt from Notre Dame. That's what's interesting. The Giants, I'm just not sure what they're going to do. I mean, Neighbors feels like the pick that's going to happen. But in the event that he's off the board, that's someone who maybe they trade down. Just because I don't think the Giants really know where they're at. They're at this weird place of, like, they think they can win now, but, like, let's be real, you really can't. And they do have a lot of money tied up in guys like Daniel Jones. So, I don't know, but I'll say they go up front here. I wrote this ad nauseum in my mock earlier today, was when in doubt, just go with the offensive line. So that's what I'm doing here. Joe Alt at 6.
All right. So that's going to bring the Titans, and you're doing real good at snaking the picks right before. This is, you know, I had Joe Alt seems like a natural fit with the Titans. He's not there. So I think I'm going to go probably with, because they got to get some line help. Their line is awful. I'm going to go with, and I'm going to butcher the name, but
we're going to be doing a lot of that.
Olumuwaiye Fashanu out of Penn State there. He's probably the next best thing, you know, from Joe Alt. Alt's not there, so this is the pick. Titans, like I said, do they need help in other areas? Yes. But, I mean, to me, that's where they're going. They have to shore up that offensive line if you're going to actually evaluate Will Levis, who towards the end of the season just got the shit kicked out of him.
Kicked out of him, and he looked like as much of a rookie as you can. I said the same thing. I mean, they've gone in to help him. I mean, they grabbed I think they overpaid. Keep that in mind. I think they lost free agency because of how much they overpaid. But they did grab Calvin Ridley. They did grab Tony Pollard. So then they still have DeAndre Hopkins. So they're giving him weapons. Now it's about protecting him to get the ball to those weapons. So, I mean, regardless, if Joe Alt ends up going before they pick, they're just going to go with the next best guy on the board, I think.
That's how I looked at that pick, you know.
So I think that's safe. I think that's smart. I think that's exactly how that would play out.
I thought it was between him and J.C. Latham. I just rank the kid from Penn State a little bit higher. That's all.
Now we have the Falcons at 8 here, and this gets really dicey because there's a glaring need, but there is also a part of me that wants to see this particular person go in. We've already talked about him, but I'm going to stick with what I think the Falcons end up doing, and that's bringing in Dallas Turner to shore up the edge for them. They need pass rush help bad. They fixed the head coach and the quarterback situation, which were the two biggest needs. So their biggest need heading into draft day is getting a solidified pass rusher off the edge. So got to take the best one on the board, and that's Dallas Turner. So Falcons taking Turner at 8.
I think it just makes too much sense. You know, as soon as you said, I really thought you were going to pick Rome here. I thought you were going to fanboy out and just like.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. As much as I want to see him in that offense,
it was a noble pick you just made. It was a noble pick because the fan in you definitely wanted Rome. But, I mean, Turner's one of those, you know, it is a draft where, hey, it's pick 8 and there's an edge rusher going. That doesn't happen often. Usually you see a top 5, you know, somewhere like that. So Turner's still
heavy this year.
Yeah. Top 10 talent. There's just a ton of depth on the offensive side, right? Some of the depth on the defensive side.
He picks in, and that's the first defensive player off the board.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there is depth on the defensive side in this draft, cornerback and edge, but it's really more day 2, day 3 picks, you know? There's more of a jump from Dallas Turner to the next, you know, so on and so forth. So, so that's going to move back to the Bears at 9. Again, you know, the fun pick would be Rome here, but they have DJ Moore. They traded for Keenan Allen. It's a deep wide receiver draft. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears did stay here, if they got a young rookie, you know, young rookie to pair. But I don't think that's what they do. They got Caleb. I'm going to go with I'm going to go edge just because that's probably their second biggest need. You know, on their – you can get a nice, shiny new quarterback, but if you can't stop the other team's quarterback and get to him, you know, it's kind of, you know – yeah, it's the top 3 picks in the draft. You go quarterback, protector, effector, right? So I'm going to go Leatu Latu out of UCLA, blazer off the edge, has some injury concerns, but I think he's going to be fine, and I think it's going to help
actually,
him out.
So I actually had them taking Verse out of Florida State in the mock, I believe, because they will have to make a decision between those two. They're very close. Both of them could end up going there, but I mean, either way you go, I do think the Bears at 9, if they do stay put, I feel like edge is kind of that safe bet, just because they have addressed a lot of offensive needs in the offseason. And so that brings us to the 10th pick here, with the good old Jets. You know, at 10, I think the Jets bring in HIV as a means to prove Aaron Rodgers wrong, but that's just me. But Jets are another team that's just, it's a weird situation. Because they could go the protection route. They could go the receiver route. You know, they need help in the secondary. They need help in a lot of places. But unfortunately, I'm going to swallow the pill here and say that they will take Roma Dunze at 10, as much as I fucking hate to give him to the Jets. It's not something I want to see, but that just feels like it has to go there. So before I let you chime in, I'm just going to round off the top 10 picks so far. Caleb Williams at 1 to the Bears. Jaden Daniels at 2 to Washington. Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3 to the Patriots. Cardinals taking Neighbors at 4. Bowers 5 to the Chargers. Joe Alt 6 to the Giants. Fashanu, 7 to the Titans, mm-hmm. Dallas Turner, 8 to the Falcons, Latu to the Bears, and then Adunze to the Jets.
Yeah.
And that's top 10.
Yeah. And Adunze to the Jets makes a ton of sense, but ultimately, I do think there's a team that probably jumps up to get him if he's there. You know, like if, I said, I see the Bears.
I wonder.
In a prime spot.
I almost wonder if someone like the Falcons, are willing to trade down too. I mean, Turner seems like the safe bet and all, but if someone gives them a King's ransom to trade up and get either a quarterback or
a dude. I mean, Drake May's sliding right now.
Yeah.
Drake May's sliding, right? So I could see that. So now that the top 10's done, we're sitting here with the Vikings at 11, right?
And two quarterbacks on the fucking board.
Two quarterbacks on the board. I don't like either quarterback, but that being said, I'm drafting based on what I think the Vikings will do when that picks to them. So that means they should probably take Drake May, but the guy that is paired with them in every single mock draft, whether they trade up, stay put, whatever, is JJ McCarthy. So if that's their guy and he's there at 11, you go with your guy, right? You don't go with the guy that slides. If he is your guy, then you're going to go with him. And that's what I'm going to do. The Drake May slide.
Let this infant Jeff Carson fuck it up.
the Drake May slide continues. Now, like I said, I'm not a big fan of either quarterback. If you're asking me who's the better quarterback, it's Drake May. But I'm drafting based on what I think the Vikings would do. Right. And that's how you see players slide in the draft is, you know, the Vikings already have the guy that they want in McCarthy. That's probably who they did all their research on. Right. Or at least the most research, I should say, to say that a team doesn't research, you know, all 32 potential picks is out of this world. But yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going JJ McCarthy, pick 11.
If May slides there and the Vikings are there, I don't know. I think maybe they throw out the homework thinking they wouldn't get him. And I think they take May, but maybe not.
I could see that, but I could also see May doing this, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Rosen-esque slide. I think he's a lot like Josh Rosen in this draft, you know? So.
So that brings us to Denver at 12. Now, as much as I'd love to just shit all over Sean Payton here and say that the Broncos are going to take Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame at the 12th pick. As much as I'd love to do that, I'm not going to. But Drake May is going to come off the board here. I'll say if May slides to them at 12, I mean, even though it's hard to believe Payton taking a quarterback in round one, but I'll say Drake May. They need help at quarterback bad. Broncos just need help, period. That's going to be one of the interesting things in this draft. Does Patrick Surtain get moved? Because there's been a lot of talk about that, and if they do, I mean, I think that'll be the beginning of the end of Sean Payton because that's going to be a giant fucking mistake.
Yeah, I agree, and that's one of the more recent things we've enjoyed in the draft in past years is players getting dealt on draft night. Used to be taboo, right?
Yeah, you don't trade your guys on draft day.
Now you're seeing like what I think AJ Brown got traded on draft night.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So
yeah, the one year where you had a couple of players move in round one, mm-hmm. which was wild.
Yeah. So no, if May is there, Sean Payton needs to buy a lotto ticket, right?
Yes,
but that is where I saw the slide stopping. Like I said, if there's a, you know, obviously these teams can trade, so May is going to be gobbled up before then, right?
Yeah, of course. Someone like the Raiders even, or maybe Seattle, like there's plenty of teams who would trade up to grab a quarterback if the slide started happening.
Right. So, and this is where now we are. The Raiders here, right? They got Gardner Minshew in the offseason. They still need a quarterback, but the top four off the board. Are you really going to take five quarterbacks in the first 13? I think it's far-fetched.
Agreed.
You know, but I do think that they're going to stay on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to have them take offensive tackle Troy Fotano out of out of Washington. You know, if you can't get a quarterback, at least get someone that can protect him, right?
Yeah, that's again, when in doubt, you go O-line, and there's plenty to pick from.
And he's a regional kid. I mean, he played in Washington, Vegas. For those listening, I know that Las Vegas is not in the state of Washington. We can all calm down. But regionally, you know, you're seeing that. So that's what I think happens.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's – Raiders definitely could use some help on the offensive line. I mean, as far as their needs go, it would definitely fill that void for them. That brings us – I forgot I was going to have the Saints pick here. So with the Saints at 14, man, this is tough because on one hand – there is one player on the board who, at his position, stands out above anyone else that's in this draft and fills a need for them. But on the other hand, they need help at offensive line bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I just, you know, Dennis Allen, no fucking telling. So I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball here, and I'm going to say the Saints take Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois, which I don't think would be a bad pick. I think he's again, you're not going to find a better tackle in the draft. Mm-hmm. The gap between one and two is extremely wide, but the big problem is even with a good pick, you still have Derek Carr. You still have Dennis Allen. They're still going to suck. So we'll go with good old Johnny Newton.
Yeah. Honestly, he's someone that I wouldn't mind the Jags taking at 17. He's a force.
If he's there, I mean, dude, he's a hell of a pick in the mid first round.
Yep. It makes a lot of sense. I honestly thought you were going Jared Verse. I thought you were going to, like, the way you were setting that up was, well, you know, they have the edge, you know, the edge rush with, you know, their guys now. I thought you were making him like the heir apparent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's good. Plus, you team him up with Brian Breesy, last year's pick.
Yeah.
And it kind of is. Hey, I'm a Jags fan, so I'm going to know. Back when they had Henderson and Stroud, right? So –
Hendo and Stroud, baby. You didn't get a much better duo. Yeah,
I mean, you know, if you can make an offense one-dimensional, you're probably in good shape. So that's a good way to do it. Which brings us to the Colts now.
I'm glad you're picking them and not me.
Yeah. Man, you can go any which way, right? They could get a receiver. You brought Pittman back. Receivers are gone. They could go Brian Thomas. I don't think they do that early. They lost out on L'Jarius Sneed, right? He's a Titan. Edge, tight end, you know, like any spots he can. Ultimately, I think one of their needs is one of my best available players on the board right now. So I think that's where they go. I think they're going to take Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. He's a top player at a top need for them. So, you know, ideally I think the Colts are probably looking to move in this draft, probably move up a few spots, maybe even late top 10. But, yeah, I think that's where they go.
Not a bad pick. Like I said, with the Colts, I just don't know what to do with them. Like, I really don't. When I was doing my mock earlier, I mean, it's just, I really don't know which direction they're going. But, you know, getting the top corner is not a bad deal. Seattle is up next. And so they need help on the interior line. I mean, so there's really, I think, two guys there. I particularly like one more than the other. And I don't know why, but his name screams Seattle Seahawk to me. It's who I mocked in the first mock. But I'm going to go with Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. Beef up that interior line for him. And you see this all the time. I mean, you get guys who are listed as centers, but then they transition to the right or left guard. And I think that's ultimately what would happen with him. So I'm going to say Seattle beefs up that interior line and gets Powers Johnson here.
That's a sneaky good pick because he is – he's projected to go later, yet he's the top player at his position. He's just in a position that isn't valued on round one of the draft as much as rounds two, three, four, right?
Right.
So that's a good pick. If you're, and a lot of people are saying like he's the best center prospect to come out in the last 10, 15 years, but a center prospect can mean they can really play center and each guard, right?
Right.
So, you know, just because he's a center at heart, you can plug and pop day one, which is nice.
And that's what's tricky about offensive line, too, because even tackles, I mean, you see it all the time. Eventually, that someone gets drafted as a tackle, they move over to guard. They learn a new position.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line's always interesting just because I don't want to say it's one of the safest picks, but it really is. I mean, I find that offensive linemen have a lot longer leash to be good in the NFL just because, hey, maybe you're not a tackle, but hey, let's try out at guard. Maybe it works. And sometimes it fucking does.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, that brings us to the favorite team in the draft, the Jacksonville
Jaguars. If you pick who I think you should pick, I'll give you some kudos.
Well, here's where the Jags ultimately – if they stay at 17, I'll honestly be shocked. I think they either deal it for a receiver or they move up or back. I just don't see them staying there. That being said, you lost Calvin Ridley, right? You need to replace that, but you did sign Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis and Calvin Ridley are not the same type of receiver, even let alone same caliber. But Christian Kirk coming back, hopefully he's healthy.
Got a bunch of B-rate receivers over there.
You do. You got a bunch of great number twos, right? So you could go receiver here, but I think you're just getting another great number two, which would be like Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell, someone like that. But hear me out. We brought in new defensive coordinator, Mr. Nielsen from Atlanta there, right?
Do it, Danny. Man. Do heavy it, man. Danny.
Heavy man, the best man, press man corner in this draft is actually from a little town, a little school of Toledo, and it's going to be Quinyon Mitchell. You thought I was going Cooper DeJean, didn't you?
You son of a bitch. You ruined it all. Quinyon See, this Mitchell. Is why the Jags suck, because people like you make dumb decisions.
Quinyon Mitchell, he's going – I think he's there for the Jags, but like I said, I ultimately
it does feel like a Jags pick, so you could be right, which means he'll inevitably bust.
Why you gotta be like that?
Because I'm just being honest. I'm just helping you set up yourself for disappointment.
What's your problem?
Everything.
So
that brings us to pick 18 with the Bengals. They're You know, the Bengals are interesting, too, because I could see them making a move to splash up and grab someone like Bowers. In the no-trade mock I did earlier, Bowers fell to them at 18. Now, in what world does that happen? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, probably not. But, you know, with the Bengals, I am going to – man, that's a tough call. I think I'm going to – They lost a lot. They lost some big pieces. I'm gonna go ahead and beef up the offensive line here. protect Burrow. And I am going to say that they take Amarius Mims out of Georgia.
Mm, okay.
Sticking with the SEC boys here. And, yeah, I'll take Mims out of Georgia here to give Burrow some added protection up front.
There you go. So why do you like Mims a little bit better than Latham? J.C. Latham out of Alabama.
I mean, more or less, they're what and what. I mean, I don't really necessarily say I like one more than the other. It's kind of one of those things where they could take either of them. They're probably okay. But, you know, fuck Bama.
Okay, fair enough. No, that makes sense. Give me two ticks because, unfortunately, my phone wanted to stop here. So you went Mims here. Got it.
Went Mims.
This is like our first technical difficulty.
That's okay. You know, it happens. You just ruined the whole night for everybody.
Hey, dude, I'm doing my job. Back to the Rams.
I'm doing my part. I didn't do fucking shit.
Rams here. So we have a couple different ways and areas they can go. They did ultimately boomerang back and get Darius Williams back from the Jags this past year.
I'm gonna throw you a fun fact before you make your pick. When was the last time the Rams picked in the first round? What year?
September 08. No, it's before the it's before the Sean McVay era. It has to be.
Throw out a year. I'm curious.
2015.
Right. Almost there. It's 2016 was the last time they picked in the first round, dude.
Wow.
I read that earlier and it's one of those things. If you follow along enough, you know, but it really doesn't compute until I read it. And I'm like, it has been 8 years.
Dude, you remember the meme with Les Snead, just fuck them picks, you know, like
fuck those picks. Hey, you know, at the end of the day, they won a Super Bowl, and that's what the whole plan was. Even if it wasn't multiple and it was one, hey, so what?
Got the ring. So they lost a cornerback. Can always use edge help. Linebacker starts coming into play. Really, a lot of stuff on the defensive side of the ball, right? Ultimately,
and Donald retired, correct?
Yes.
So you got to think that defense is about to go on full rebuild mode because they're not going to replace Aaron Donald. Of course, he's one of the two best defensive players to ever touch the field. Maybe the best. So,
and that's why, you know, they're not looking to replicate, but they do have to fill a huge, huge need, right? Could go Jared Verse here from Florida State, but ultimately I think they do go. Since Newton's off the board, I'm going to have him take Byron Murphy, the D-tackle from Texas.
Makes sense.
He's the D-tackle from Texas that I think kind of emulates the style of play that Aaron Donald is. Tavondre Sweat's much larger. He's kind of that nose type. So I have him taking Brian Murphy here.
It's a good pick. Then we go over to the Steelers at 20. I mean, I watched a lot of Steelers last year because my fantasy team depended on it with the two-headed monster that was Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. They did have decent seasons, believe it or not, but my God, that offense was frustrating beyond belief to watch. And I think since they've had the offseason of rebuilds, they brought in Arthur Smith. I think they're going to run the shit out of the ball next year. And rest assured, as I say that, maybe Arthur Smith decides to go pass heavy. I don't fucking know. But I'm going to go ahead and say they sure up the line. And I'll just go ahead and take the other SEC boy. And that'll be J.C. Latham at Alabama. So beefing up the offensive line in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Plus, you also have not the ageless one, but the aged one, Russell Wilson, just waiting to get his job taken by Justin Fields.
You know, that's going to be interesting.
Steelers country, let weld, you know.
One bad game, and they're going to be calling for Justin Fields. It's
Steelers like, country, it's let's weld. It's one of those
things they won the offseason by getting a quarterback room that is actually fairly deep.
Right.
With also, you know, minimal payout for it.
Dude, kudos to them because they realized that they didn't want to go what's his name? Kenny Pickett. Mason Rudolph was just literally brain dead from Myles Garrett. So they just scrapped everything and just said, all right, we're going to do this. So I don't see it being a bad pick. You know, that being said, you know, we're on to the Dolphins.
Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Miami. So now this is kind of like the rich get richer, right? They have a ton of talent. They just need to put it together, right? They have a coach that you and I both like.
Love me some Mike McDaniel, man.
So they, man, I wonder where they would go here. I'm going to have them go a little out of the box here and go guard and go Graham Barton out of Duke. Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry. So, reason being, I could see them going tackle or maybe even like on the defensive side of the ball. But after Barton, there's a pretty significant drop off on interior. So I think that's just something where, you know, Mike McDaniels, let's keep the mad scientists at work, right? The best way to do that is to keep Tua clean, and also to be able to run the ball. A lot of people lost sight that Miami was great at running the ball last year.
Yeah.
Right. So this is one of those picks that I do like, hey, play to your strength. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why that picks that.
Definitely not the direction I think they go, but it would make sense for them to, if you have one of the two best guards on the board, why not?
I think Miami's in a spot where honestly, they're just going to see the board play and whoever's there, they probably go best available player, but like best available players I have right now, I do have the kid out of Oregon State, Fuaga, the tackle. Jared Verse is probably the top player on the board for me. And then Brian Thomas, but I just, Are any of them really like Dolphins picks? Probably not.
So. Well, there was someone I mocked who I'm about to pick right now for the Eagles to the Dolphins that I think would make a lot of sense and give them a little bit of a chess piece on defense. But I think you know who I'm alluding to at this point, but Philadelphia at 22, they need help in the secondary, both corner safety. They need help at linebacker, and it just fits like a glove. I don't want to see him go there for the record, but Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. He's one of those guys who I think he's a home run pick in my opinion. You know, when you have someone who can have kind of that versatility, be kind of that chess piece, kind of like a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson type. Definitely someone who fills those needs on defense, which speaking of, didn't the Eagles bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
I think so.
So giving them Cooper DeJean, I just thought about that. You know, you get two guys who you can literally move around in the defensive backfield. So, hell, that makes even more sense now. So I'll go with DeJean there at 22 for the good old Eagles.
Nice. I don't want to see him go to the Eagles.
I don't either. I really I don't. Like, but the second he fell there, I'm like, he's got to.
No, I get it. I get it. All right. That brings the Vikings back for their second pick of the first round, right?
Which, just to recap, earlier, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings at 11, so they did get their quarterback.
Right, and you got to because the Vikings are another team. These teams in this stretch, these are the teams that you're either great and you go best available, or you still have holes because you're accumulating picks, which is what the Vikings did, right? This was the trade with the Texans, I believe, so that this pick comes in. So you go a couple different routes. Brian Thomas seems like a nice pick to pair with Jay Jettas. Because I'm trying to think who their number two is right
Jordan
now.
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison, yeah, that's right.
They have a good receiver room, contrary to popular belief, but having another receiver here could give them kind of that three-headed monster to play with, too.
Yeah. Ultimately, I don't think they do. I think they kind of shore up a little bit of protection for McCarthy. So this is where I'm going to have Fuaga go off the board, the offensive tackle. Do I think their tackles are bad? Not necessarily. But you're in modern day NFL where swing tackles are, it's the NBA six man, right? So I'm going to go with Taliese Fuaga, offensive tackle out of Oregon State.
It's not a bad pick. So if it would have been me picking here, I think this is where Verse potentially goes off the board.
I thought about Verse because of Hunter being gone.
I was going to say, Danielle Hunter was one of the biggest losses of the offseason that no one is talking about. You know how big I am on him and have been for years.
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of been the unsung hero of that defense.
I really wanted to mock Verse here, but I think McCarthy's the quarterback out of those top four that needs the most help.
Agreed. So I do agree with that.
That's why that pick is where it is. But yeah, you know, Jared Verse would be a great pick for the Vikings, really here or 11. You know, like he's one of those guys that could go as early as 10 or 11 and as late as probably the upcoming picks here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he slides out of round one.
So that brings up the Cowboys at 24, which is another just kind of weird place. I mean, they don't have any big needs per se, but one of the things I do think is they could probably use more help at receiver. And with Brian Thomas still there, I'll say Brian Thomas out of LSU, 24 to the Cowboys, because that'll take some pressure off CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you obviously got Brandon Cooks there, who's had a hell of a career, but seen better days. Great number three at this point.
Yeah, you know, they let Gallup walk. They let Gallup go, you know.
Yeah.
So I like it. So that's going to bring us to the pack. Ultimately, this is where I'm going to see Jared Verse go off the board. He's gone too far. you know, the Packers
and Tampa Bay's pissing their pants right now out of anger.
Yeah, you know, but really I want to see Verse go here just because he is that talent. And I think Green Bay can pair him well on that defense. So, I mean, he's one of those top edge rushers and he's still on the board. So I'm going to have him snake bite the Bucks and go one pick before. This is why we said no trades, because if that ever happened, I mean, the Bucks would.
Oh, the Bucks would have traded up already, probably 4 or 5 picks ago to grab an edge. But that being said, they still have one edge rusher on the board who's high level, Chop Robinson out of Penn State. So I'll stick with the status quo. Bucks did a great job this offseason retaining their assets. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield, probably more so than any of the other, you know, that I mentioned. But the biggest need right now for them is the edge. They do have Vita Vey, who's been a great interior guy for them and does a lot of things for them in the run and in the pass. But they still need that guy off the edge who can just get after the quarterback. So Chop being the last one there, who's a first-round talent, so to speak.
Yeah.
We'll take Chop at good old 26 for Tampa.
Yep. So real quick, because we had discussed off air, right? Because it happened that I landed with the Vikings and the Bears as the pick. So you ended up having the Cardinals, and now they're up to pick at pick 27. So I'm actually, you're going to go three picks in a row here. You're going to go Bucks, Cardinals, and then follow it up with the Bills. So I'll let you get to the Cardinals pick right here.
So Cardinals with their second pick. So just a reminder, they lost the Marvin Harrison sweepstakes. They went Malik Nabers. And at 27, you know, they do have a need at cornerback. I'm going to go Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Bama. Gives them a solid corner to pretty much start right away. I could also see them going with another receiver in the first round because they do need the receiver depth and help bad. And I don't think that would be a bad move, but I'll say go one offense, one defense, and I'll say Kool-Aid there at 27.
Especially with how deep their receiving draft is. I mean, there's guys going pick 4 and 5 in these mocks that I'd be psyched if my team got them. You know, like Ricky Pearsall's slated to go pick, you know, round 4 or 5. You know, Roman Wilson, there's a ton. So I could see that. Okay. So now you're going to stay up here. Okay.
Yep. Bills at 28. Bill. It's no secret. They're going to go receiver round 1. I feel like that's
got plucked. Yeah.
Which I think, and for the record, I think getting Diggs out of Buffalo was great for them. It's a net positive, not a net negative. And it's funny, I've actually talked to two people from Buffalo at work this week, and both of them were like, fuck Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I heard that a lot of Bills fans are more upset about Gabe Davis leaving than Stephon.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Diggs is a piece of shit. So getting him out of there is a good thing. And it's funny, you know, one of the things that I think validates this is the fact D'Amico, Ryans and the Texans weren't giving him a big contract. They're like, well, we'll pay you this year.
Yeah.
Earn your contract for next year. And then here's what's going to happen. They're just going to be like, all right, cool. See you. Let somebody else pay you. We'll take you on a 1-year rental. No, with that being said, I mean, I like this particular receiver a lot and maybe a little bit of a reach on most people's boards, but I've talked about him with you previously. Keon Coleman out of Florida State. He's long, he's lengthy, got good speed. I think it gives Josh Allen a nice big target to throw to. So Keon Coleman to the Bills. He ends up catching 1,500 yards next year, and they don't miss Stephon Diggs. It'd be great. That's my storybook ending for them.
He's a nice big target. He can come in. You know, a lot of people forget during the year, Florida State was cooking until
the Travis injury.
Yeah, right. So, and Coleman was a huge part of that. So I like that because he is a gamer. Guy likes the ball in his hands when it's crunch time.
It gives him, I also think it adds an element to Josh Allen that we haven't seen because he really hasn't had that big body receiver. I mean, Diggs isn't a very big receiver, but this gives him someone who's lengthy, who's long, can jump, can basically be a bailout for him if he needs to be. So, I don't know. Keon Coleman, and I've been saying this since, you know, I've been saying this since before free agency even took place. That I like Keon Coleman to the Bills.
Yeah. No, makes a ton of sense. I don't really think it's a reach because, honestly, he's someone that I think could slide as early as, like, the high teens in the draft.
Yeah.
If there's a run on receivers and you value your guy, right? So, I like it. So, now we're up to the Lions. I'm going to step back into the draft and pick. They could go edge, but like you said, really the first round talent edge rushing wise is gone. I think they address it round 2. I'm going to have them go with Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson. He's probably to me, he's a guy that seems like a lion, you know. 6'1 and lean, you know, it just seems like he can go well in that defense, both zone and man. You know, and at this point in the draft, you get someone who you're looking for a starter. And what I mean by a starter is either cornerback 2 or slot corner, because a lot of them have gone that. Now, ultimately, I think their slot corner is taken care of with the kid they drafted last year out of Alabama, who, for whatever reason, his name's leaving me. Had a great rookie year, too. But that's, I think they're going to go Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson there.
It's not a bad pick. I'm curious on the Lions, because I could also see them going for the receivers too. I know they have depth there, but I don't know why. I just feel like the Lions are going to be that team that just reloads on offense and just keeps piling up weapons. John.
Yeah. Well, paid off last year. I mean, we laughed. I mean, kudos, because we laughed at the Lions pick last year when they went ahead and went running back, second running back. Or was he the second?
Second back. He went 12th overall. They took Gibbs. And what was interesting was after the fact was if he would have been the first running back off the board if the Lions had something to say about it.
Yeah.
Over Bijan.
Yeah. That's right. It was Bijan. But yeah, I mean, anyone that says that they thought the Lions hit a home run with that pick last year is an absolute liar. no one saw that. They got, you know, not only did they get mock drafts wrong, they got flat out mocked. And then we were the ones all, you know, being laughed at the end. So whoever the Lions pick, I trust them at this point. I mean, they get it right, dude. Yeah. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like they know what they're doing. So, well,
you and I talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown earlier this year too, a couple of weeks ago, because in my opinion, he's one of the 5 best offensive players in the NFL outside of the quarterback position. And we were talking about that as far as like where he compares in the receiver game and everything. But Lions are interesting. But that brings us to the Ravens. There's 2 guys on the board here who I think a lot of people have been saying that these two, the Ravens could be looking at them in round one. The first is Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. But I'm actually going to take the latter of the two, and that is good old Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, shoring up the receiver position there. They keep hitting. They keep trying. I think this is going to be another one of those picks where, like, you kind of have to make the pick, but more or less it's not going to help them in the long run as much as they think it will, and it'll get kind of overplayed. So yeah. I'll take Mitchell to the Ravens at 30.
And he's someone that actually is getting mocked, a couple mocks to the Jags at 17. So the value's there. Yeah, now – I like him. I don't like him at 17. I think most people mocking him are thinking the Jags bump back, you know. But yeah, I think that would be great. I like that you took him over Worthy, because, yes, Worthy broke the combine record on the 40.
I don't give a fuck about the combine.
I mean, learn your lesson. You know, John Ross is somewhere.
Darius Hayward Bay is somewhere. Troy Williamson is somewhere.
Yeah, like just, you know. So, I like that pick. That's a smart pick. All right, so now we're over the Niners, right? Man, there's not a whole lot of gaps for them, right? So they can kind of go.
They're tough to pick.
They can kind of go best available player here. I had them going Kingsley Suamatala. I think I said that right. The offensive tackle out of BYU, but Tyler Guyton's still there. And I think they're in best available territory. So I'm going Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
That's a good pick.
Just a big guy.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't have many holes, but the one hole that they do have, unfortunately, is the other side of their offensive line, as playing opposite of Trent Williams. I mean, you know, Trent Williams, I said this last year. I mean, realistically speaking, he could have been the league MVP. But
and Guyton's a right tackle. Lineman. And Guyton is a right tackle.
Yeah.
You know, you're not drafting him to be a left tackle. It's a lot like what you saw the Lions do with Penei Sewell a few years ago. Like, you know, he's a right tackle. So that's why I made the pick there with Guyton.
Now, last up is the Kansas City Chiefs. Just what the doctor ordered, because this is who I want to see go there. And I hope to fucking God it happens. But to close out the first round for us, I'm going with Ladd McConkey, baby, from Georgia to KC to pair with Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. He would be the perfect fit for them.
No, it makes sense. The moment you said, you know, this is a guy I want to see, I knew you were going McConkey. one of the best names in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, it makes sense. I know they got Hollywood Brown in the offseason, but he's more the vertical guy. They need, you know,
they need the guy who's going to take the hit across the middle.
Like blood and guts, dude. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Fuck Mel Kiper. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But it's been a great episode of the Hotard Huddle Podcast. As always, honor the huddle.
You're listening to the Hotard Huddle Podcast. Join the conversation on sports, movies, television, music, and more.
The Hotard Huddle Podcast is not responsible for any major side effects of nostalgia, fanboying, or foul language.